I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Janovic.
Sorry about that. Got lost in my board here, Dave, my audio board. Over 222,000 Utah ballots have been processed as of this morning. Almost 100,000 in Salt Lake County alone, and just about 40 million nationwide, Dave.
Yeah, this is a win. This is great. We're voting. We're getting them out. We're doing it early. I think we're going to have a great turnout.
If history repeats itself this election season, voting here in Utah won't be marred by intimidation at the polls or laced with fraud. We've had it pretty tame here through the years, but 2020 isn't a traditional year, Dave. We all know that. And with a call by the president for, well, poll watchers. And then, you know, in my own neighborhood, we actually had militias a couple of months ago deciding to initiate foot patrols to protect public buildings when we were having some protests in the community. I think it's really important that we've got to talk about election security. And if there is voter intimidation, who do we turn to?
Well, we turn to a federal elections officer, which I did not know was a thing. It's someone who is in charge of keeping the polls safe, and we're looking to bring on U.S. Attorney for Utah, John Huber, in just a few minutes.
We're trying to get his call patch through, and that's part of the reason for the delay of just a few moments ago that I was experiencing, is we're trying to get a hold of him right now, apparently having some phone problems here. But a quick crash course in what a federal election officer does. And they're appointed when there's an election season. They're appointed. They work with state elections officials, and they keep an eye on how things are going, and they make sure voter fraud isn't happening. Now, it's nothing I've ever experienced. I've never gone to the polls, Dave, and felt like I can't get past somebody because they're standing in my way.
Right.
I've never watched or known of somebody. In fact, in my reporting over the years, I don't know if I've ever personally reported on somebody voting multiple times, although I'm sure there have been stories about it. But there needs to be clearly somebody to turn to if this becomes a problem, right? And so who do you go to? Have you ever seen anything like that?
No, and I'm with you. I've covered these stories so many times, and it's pretty boring, which is a good thing. You want boring at the polls. But this year is so unique in the fact that probably 90% of people are going to vote by mail. They're not even going to hit the polls. Maybe you go to drop it off, but it's already signed, sealed, and delivered. It's very, very easy. And I think that's what makes this year so unique. Even though we're boring most years, this year is probably catatonic.
I'm shocked, quite frankly, at the millions of people who have already voted. I'm glad they have. But I was not expecting it to be 40 million nationwide when I walked into work this morning and checked out the number. 40 million people nationwide. A lot of that largely by mail-in ballot, right? And have you already taken care of your ballot, Dave?
Nope. Haven't done the sit-down with the family yet. That's how I plan it. We sit down. We discuss it. I tell the kids why I'm voting a certain way. We have a discussion. I haven't done it yet. I don't feel any big pressure to finish it like by the end of the week or anything.
Well, what's the deadline? Can you look that up real quick for getting the mail-in ballot while we wait to see if we can get U.S. Attorney Huber on the line. And it really is, I think, on our end here that we're struggling to get these phone calls through. So we can't get him on the line, Andrew? Andrew's saying no. It's a big no, Dave. So you and I are going to have to carry this segment. Good luck.
You and
that.
I don't have a problem talking.
No,
this is not
no.
a tough thing.
But the 222,000 ballots in Utah that have already been processed as of this morning, I think that's a sign that we are going to have record voter turnout. A lot of it has to do with local interest in a lot of the local races, certainly. And then also at the national level. I mean, I think that even the last debate between the two presidential candidates, for as big as a debacle as it was, I think for those who thought, maybe I won't vote, I think it might have infused them with enough, I don't know, fear for what they saw to get out and vote for their candidate.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have made up their mind, and they've made up their mind months ago. I think there's very, very few people that are still trying to figure out which way they're going to vote, partially because the candidates are so different. When I look at my own local races, Debbie, whether it's mayor or whether it's my state representative, there is more collaboration. There's people working together. It seems like on the federal level, they just keep running away from each other as quickly as possible. Like, there are absolutely no areas where we can agree, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, much more so than on our local races. That being said, that's why I think people have already made the decision who they're voting for, even though there's still debates to be had and there's still time to educate yourself. I think everyone's probably pretty comfortable with what they know to be able to cast a vote.
Tonight, I believe, is the Attorney General's debate for the state of Utah, the AG's debate. I'm planning on tuning into that. I know last week we covered the controversy regarding the potential that will appear to be the delay in the debate. When we talked about AG Sean Reyes questioning whether he did go to Hawaii for his dad's funeral, or did he use that as a way to get the debate delayed until after mail-in ballots went out. We covered that extensively here at KSL News Radio, but because of a KSL television report by Matt Gephardt, we were able to delve into that issue. I think that controversy may have elevated the interest in that race, because I think in years past, I'm not sure people would walk into a polling booth, Dave, and go, yeah, I know what the AG does specifically, but I really think that controversy ended up bringing some light to that attorney general's race here between Sean Reyes and Greg Skordas.
So often, debates just fly under the radar. I mean, we've had debates in the 2nd and 3rd District just in the last few days that nobody knew about, that very few people watched, that we didn't discuss it on our show. But this is one of those races that popped up, had a little controversy, and now we're interested. This is part of the problem with us. We're not interested unless there's some controversy. and that's a bad path to go down. Like, well, we're not interested unless you guys have some fireworks.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.